That is the commuter rail there. The T is back in more people's lives as more people return to work. It's also back in the news after a report this week from the National Transportation and Safety Board about a red line train that killed a man in April. The report blames a failure in the red line car's safety system in the door. In this extra installment of From the Newsroom, we welcome WBUR reporter Daryl C. Murphy. He is looking into the future of the commuter rail and has been reporting on the ways the MBTA is stuck in the past, including this red line tragedy. Daryl, welcome back.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. I do want to start with this latest news on the red line, Daryl. So last month, a man was killed trying to exit a train at Broadway Station. This preliminary report came out. Tell us what we know.
Well, the preliminary report basically told us that the passenger, who was 39-year-old Robinson Leyland, their arm got caught in the door of the train as they were attempting to exit. And they ended up being dragged to their death. And the reason why that, they got caught in the door because there was a fault in the door control system that allowed the train to move while the doorway was obstructed.
Because normally that shouldn't happen, right? If there's any kind of obstruction that keeps the door from closing, the train's not supposed to move.
Right. You know, as many transit passengers know, sometimes you may get to the door late, you might be about to miss your stop, or you might be trying to catch the train. What do? You run up and you stick your arm into the door as it closes. Perhaps that's, and you notice that the doorway opens. Not saying that that's exactly what happened here, but I'm just saying, like, we understand that mechanism.
We understand.
Normally, when you have something in the way, it opens up.
So this is the first report, Daryl. I understand, there's a lot legal going on here, and there will be ongoing investigations, from the MBTA. The NTSB, as I understand, is still active in this. But this is a moment where we have some information. What has the family said, and what's the T's response?
Well, I spoke to Robinson's nephew, Kelvin Lallen, and he's very upset. You know, the family is very upset. They just had a memorial service for their brother, for their son, for their uncle. You know, it was a very sad situation. And basically, you know, what Kelvin told me on the phone, he feels like the MBTA killed his uncle. His exact words, the MBTA killed my uncle. This could have definitely been avoided.
So what does the T do now then, Daryl?
Well, the incident is still under investigation. So it's still unclear exactly, you know, what the full fallout is from this situation. You know, they've done so far is just offer their condolences and just, you know, additional support to the NTSB preliminary report, you know, just further explaining that the fault in the door control system was due to a short circuit in the wiring, you know. But aside from those things, it's still unclear. They're still investigating.
All right. Thank you for that. I want to shift gears. I want to spend a couple minutes with you now on some reporting that you have been doing on the future of the commuter rail. Tell us what you've been focusing on and why you took this on.
So as many of us know, the commuter rail transit, public transportation in general, has been struggling to regain its ridership. Transit has kind of rebounded a little quicker, you know, because of, you know, the core ridership that really needs it. But commuter rail has taken a very long time to get to where it is now, because that ridership is a little less dependent on the commuter rail, right? You're talking 9-to-5 commuters who have the ability to work from home, who were encouraged to work from home during the pandemic. So that just tanked commuter rail ridership throughout the pandemic up until about last year. Say around last spring, where, you know, if you look at, say, a chart of ridership, you'd see that it slowly but steadily crept back up throughout from, say, spring until the fall, winter, where then Omicron led to a dip. In that dip, even though it dropped significantly, it didn't go down as far as it was before. And then it rebounded as the Omicron surge had came to an end. And so after seeing that, I was just very interested because it told me that the ridership was very sturdy, you know, and that it indicated to me that the T is probably turning a corner with this situation.
So with the T turning a corner, and we have limited time here, and I'm interested in how this interests you. You did some reporting, which we've run here on our air, about sort of the future of the commuter rail, changes in schedules, the desire for electrification. As you dove into that, Daryl, you've reported in other places, Philadelphia, for example, about transit. What struck you most in the comparison of how someplace else handles it versus what we've got in front of us here?
As it relates to commuter rail, you know, I myself, I'm more of a transit rider. I take commuter rail seldom, you know, not that often. And I haven't had a chance to take it here in Boston yet. But just as a reporter standing from the sidelines and like and looking at these systems, I do think it is interesting that, you know, the MBTA, for all its faults with infrastructure and some of the ways it's stuck in the past, I do see that it does make these changes. I think making that change to a more, I guess they called it a clock face, where the trains come more regularly throughout the day instead of bunching them around peak hours. I think that's kind of a big deal. You know, it's a step in the right direction as far as creating a system that's more accessible to people, you know. And also, I think doing things like piloting the Fairmount line, making it useful to people with Charlie cards, I think that's pretty interesting. I haven't seen anything like that in my previous reporting. You know, some of that's been discussed a lot in advocate circles where I was from. And so I think, you know, seeing those things, those little, they might be little small steps, but they are steps. And so I do see that there is a lot of potential here with the T to kind of be leaders in making transit more accessible, especially now, because I think that a lot of transit agencies are having to deal with this situation of, okay, we're not going to get the 9-to-5 commuters back to the numbers that we had them before the pandemic. So how are we going to fill those gaps? Well, you fill those gaps by letting people know that there are other reasons to take commuter rail rather than just to get to work. You could take it for leisure, you could take it for errands, doctor's appointments, that type of thing. And to do that, you have to kind of rearrange the infrastructure. It takes a little money, but there are things that they can do that they have done now, you know? So those are the things that interest me about the system.
WBUR reporter Daryl C. Murphy. Daryl, we are going to really look forward to talking to you in the long term about transit here in the Commonwealth and what we're doing wrong and right. Daryl, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.